Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Let me say this about the early part of the hockey season. It's like the Hippocratic Oath. This is my message when it comes to the early part of an NHL season. Do no harm. That's all I ask. Being the best team in the league in October means nothing. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care who the best team in October and November is. I care about who's the best team, you know, when we start to get a little bit later throughout the course of the year. But you got to do no harm. Because even though there's a story of the 2019 St. Louis Blues, the reality is teams that are in playoff spots on U.S. Thanksgiving are infinitely more likely to make it to the playoffs than the teams that are not. So I always look at it and say, okay, teams take a while to gel, and then once we decide who's good and who's not, there's going to be the trade deadline, and some teams are going to go all in, and some teams are going to go all out, and at some point, you know, the hockey season will kind of develop along its own pace, somewhere around January, February, something like that. You're going to lose some games early on that you don't really know why you lost them, and you're probably going to beat some teams that you don't expect to, but again, just do no harm. Figure your own game out. Figure it, whatever. And then the Predators started off 0-5. And I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little worried. But I did see the schedule. Boston, that could be a little tough. Chicago, Columbus, they should win. None of these, well, Boston, they dominated. Chicago, that was on Friday, that was a hold on to your ass kind of game. Columbus, even more. And then last night. Last night, they came out, did not play their best hockey at the beginning, came back in the game, had a shot to win it, lost in overtime, picked up the point. 3-5-1, it's not the end of the world. Most teams are around 4-4-1. Barry Trotz joins us now on the program, presented by Pourvu, as he always does on a Tuesday. And again, Pourvu, that is your spot. Be ready when the puck drops in Smashville with your drink of choice in hand. Their fearless leader has a passion for bourbon, especially hard to find and small batch. He takes road trips to hand-select barrels himself. Visit Pourvu for their exceptional variety in the bourbon and whiskey section. Barry Trotz joins us. Barry, all right, 3-5-1. Last week it was 0-5-0. How much better do you feel about things today than you did last week?
Well, I feel about 7 points better. I would say that what we're finding out about our hockey team is that we have some resiliency. We got some pride. I agree with your assessment in the Chicago game. The Columbus game was tough because they were fresh. We were playing back-to-back and playing our backup goaltender who didn't have his first best. His first start wasn't his best, and we started both games down 2-0 in both games, and we found a way to come back and win those games. So that is tough mentally, and that's tough physically to do. So I would say that is growth for our team. If you look at Chicago, they went and walked into Colorado last night and beat them 5-2. So Chicago's a much better team. Columbus is a much better team. They just destroyed Edmonton 6-1 yesterday. So those teams are better than maybe you think. Tampa last night was a little bit of a slow start. Tampa, talking to their management team, they felt that was their strongest game of the year. There was an emotional game, and we did the same thing. We were down 2 pucks, and we came out with an overtime loss, but I thought for the most part this has been a good week for us, a necessary week, and something that hopefully we can build on. We're back, you know, we put ourselves back in a position to, you know, have, if we have another good week, or if we, you know, can take 2 out of 3 games in the next couple of weeks, we'll be right in the mix and where we want to be.
Do you feel like now that you've got a couple of victories under your belt, because I still see, you know, some line changing, and last night it was kind of on defense where Yossi's up with, or excuse me, where Brady Shea and Fabbro are together, and I think it was it Shen that was up with Yossi last night? I mean, it's just a different kind of change that now this team can kind of take a little bit of the pressure off and really find out what combinations are best for this team.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that. I think what's happened too a little bit, and I talk about obviously when I coach, there's times when you want to get those combinations and find, and you push for them, and they're just not coming the way they want. You know, I think in Bruno's mind, you know, we talked about maybe a Shea Yossi pair that might be really good. And then you go Lazon Carrier and then Shen and either Fabro or Delgazzo and Shen or Delgazzo and Fabro, something like that. But the slow start by probably not only Roman but also Brady Shea probably has not been solidifying that pair. So he's moving it around, and we're finding out that based on Yossi's game and Brady's game, that having a partner who's probably just steady is the best word, predictable, steady, whatever you want to say, it's worked to stabilize their game, and I think that's caused some a lot of those changes.
To that point, when it comes to kind of everybody gelling together, or the right combination, or the right. You know, O'Reilly had the power play goal last night, and I watched the team on the power play, and I feel like it's a click or half a click slower than it should be in terms of getting the puck to one another, guys making decisions on shots, getting the puck on the tape. You know, and this is just my opinion. I mean, I don't, you know, what do I know? But no. I feel like the quicker things pick up with this group, the quicker and more often we'll see kind of those one-timers for Stamkos that he's made a Hall of Fame career out of, and that they will come more in the bunches there. Do you feel like the power play, that the guys are still figuring each other out at this point as to why it is, again, to my point, like maybe a click or two below my expectation right now?
Yeah, absolutely, because you're looking at the talent pool that's on the ice, the five players, you're thinking that it should click, it should be automatic, and it hasn't been. It hasn't been up to the expectations of myself, probably Bruno, and also the players that are on that. I think they look at it and they go, this is a good group. And I saw a lot of deferring to Stamkos, trying to get the puck to Stamkos. And what I'm starting to see, we had a couple power plays yesterday where we looked really dangerous. We looked like we were starting to come together. And the reason I think there was glimpses of it is that Philip Forsberg knows that, you know, I'm as good a scorer as Stamkos. Stamkos knows he's as good a scorer as Forsberg. Marchessault can score and make plays. And same with Stamkos. And then you got Yost. And you got Factor at the net who can do, some of the net front and some of that middle stuff, and also, in that real important bumper spot sometimes where you got to retrieve and keep things alive. And they got really dangerous, and they're starting to respect each other's skill. Whatever's open, take whatever's open. Let's not defer and try to get it over to Stammer for a one-timer. Let's not try to be as predictable. Let's just play hockey and take what they give us, because they're very intelligent players. And you saw glimpses of that. So hopefully seeing a glimpse, that glimpse turns into something that's more consistent. And then hopefully, that consistency turns a group of five into a really good power play. So, to this point, the power play has scored some big goals for us. But you expect a little bit more. Penalty kill has been, been a game changer for us. And then goaltending, obviously, we've gotten good goaltending. And goaltending is one of those things that can give you a lot of confidence. So all that being said, if we can but the one area that I think we have to be much better at is our 5-on-5 play, getting more goals. I think we've been outscored probably by, I think we're -9 5-on-5. You'll have to look that stat up, but I know we're on the bottom end of the 5-on-5. That's once we get that dialed in, the special teams and the goaltending and the rest of our game will come about and will be a lot harder out night in and night out.
Barry Trotz is with us, presented by Porvoo. I remember when you got the job and you came on the show and we were talking about Saros, and you said that when you coached against the Predators but didn't see him every night, you knew he was a good goalie, but then that kind of half a season where you were, you know, in the mix with David on his way out and you on your way in, you kind of grew respect for him about being the guy. You gave him the big contract. I said to you on Tuesday, I said, at some point, the goalie has got to carry this team, you know, and steal some victories and win a playoff series. And then he goes and pitches a shutout Tuesday night in the game that it really felt like you had to have this season that early. And he ends up, you know, stopping Boston. He's been fantastic. And even last night, I thought Saros was fabulous last night. What does that tell you about the fact that we were talking a week ago about, hey, you know, can he live up to what a franchise goalie does? And then in the week since then has done all of that. How much confidence does that give you in him?
Yeah, it re-energizes my belief in that. I never had any doubts. I just knew that, he was going to come around, and I was hoping they would come around sooner rather than later, because that was the one area and the one position where you and I said this to one of the media people in Tampa. They were asking me about goaltending, and I sometimes they come up with these crazy analogies, but to me, goaltending, they were talking about teams that don't have goaltending, it's like having a sweater and you pull on a string on a sweater and the hole gets bigger and bigger, and that hole takes away your confidence, it takes away your 5-on-5 game, it takes away your trust, and it takes away your ability to win games and go on runs as a group, and and go into a real good positive streak. So to me, having goaltending allows you to do the opposite. It puts everything back together. It gives you your trust. It gives you your belief. It gives you the confidence. And then you're able to put some games back-to-back together and start, marching forward.
Barry, what have you thought of Zachary LaRue since he's entered the lineup?
He's been good. He's still earning the trust of Bruno. I think when he first came into the Bruin game, he gave us a little bump of energy and that little bit of grit and spit that you need to give that fourth line a little bit more identity. I think he's done that, and I think he's pretty reliable defensively, which is a real benefit because that allows Bruno to play that identity line. I shouldn't even call him the fourth line, the identity line, against his shifts against some top people. So I think he's done a really good job. He wasn't going to be the savior. He's just a young player coming in and adjusting to the National Hockey League, and I think he's done a really good job so far.
Barry Trotz is with us, presented by Porvoo. According to, saw some stuff on Twitter about Spencer Stastny outplaying some pickup hockey or whatever it may be, and again, I don't know what's true on Twitter and what's not anymore anyways, but I do ask this. Do we have an update as to what's up with Stastny? Because defensively, it does kind of feel like he's a piece that could really help this team out right now. And I guess we're probably out here looking for clarity as to if he's coming back, when he's coming back, and how he could help the team.
Yeah, no, we don't have any clarity. He's dealing with some things that have really no time frame, and he's working with people on that, and therefore, I wish I did have some clarity. It would ease my mind. I've been as transparent as anybody with our fans and with yourself. I don't have a time frame, but it is encouraging to see, even if he's out in pickup hockey, that he's out on the ice and starting to do some things that are going to hopefully help him get back to a position with us at some point.
How do you feel about your defense as a whole right now?
Our team defense or a group of six? or seven?
I'm gonna say right now the whole defense, you know, the entire team, including the forwards.
I think our defense is a work in progress. It's not, to me, it's not quite locked down. You know, I think two things. We down low, we had some early problems with lack of communication and duplication. That is part and parcel, some new combinations, if you will. Some of that is just not being sharp and trusting in what we're doing. And then you can take a lot of that trust or create a lot of that trust with a little bit more communication, especially what we call is with the pressure points. There's certain times that there's a low forward and a D, and they want to put pressure on the puck because we want the puck back as soon as we can in the defensive zone. And there's sometimes some duplication and sometimes momentum that forward can go in first and get some call some skin on the opposition, get him pinned a little bit, and the D will come in, and then vice versa. There's times where I thought early we were going at the same time and not having layers of resistance, which gives you good team defense. And they were hitting some pockets in that in the middle of the ice too easily. And then just awareness of some of our, even our offside winger who was maybe leaving too soon or having a danger awareness. You know, this game isn't perfect, and that's why the goals are scored. So there's moments of imperfection in terms of your defensive zone play, and you need other people to recognize danger and cover up those spots to give you more layers of resistance in the defensive zone. So that is starting to come a little bit. And then our puck management early was not good. It's starting to come and be a little bit better. And then our execution, which allows you to play fast, continues to be a work in progress. So we got lots of building to do, but as we're building along here, we're finding ways to win. And that's what you need in this game. There's, you know, we were finding ways to lose early. Now we're finding ways to win. So you always try to look at the positive in those situations because this league is hard. There isn't an easy out in this league. Even though you think it is, there is not an easy out in the National Hockey League.
How bad did you want Stamkos to win it last night in overtime?
A lot. but you know what? I went in there. I knew Tampa would be revved up. They had fans that were revved up. Tampa, you know, Tampa's a proud team too, and all the guys love Stammer. They're great friends, but at the same time, they got a new teammate in Getzel, and they're also going, you know, we're not just Steven Stamkos is not the only reason that we won. We are a good team. We won cups, this core group. And so, you know, they were not going to let us leave there easily. And they didn't. They had one of their best games of the year. And we still got 36 shots. I thought there's times when we had them looking pretty average. There was times they had us looking pretty average. But it was generally that one line that they had with Kucherov and Point, who are, you know, they're difference makers. And Kucherov is unbelievable player, what he can do with the puck. So I thought we did a pretty good job of limiting them. But when we did give them an opportunity, they were extremely dangerous, and that's where we had the human eraser in Juice. He took away a lot of their opportunities.
Last one for you. Barry Trotz is with us on the program presented by Port-Vu. McDavid will not be playing on Thursday against Edmonton. We saw McDavid make a McDavid-like play that was the game winner when they were here just a couple of weeks ago. I have to ask this question. Is there almost around the team kind of a discussion like, hey, just because McDavid's not in the lineup doesn't mean that Edmonton is still not incredibly dangerous? Because he is the headliner wherever they go, and he will not be in there on Thursday, which should be a good thing, but then I'd worry a little bit that everybody else will think it's a good thing.
Well, I think everybody, if you're a defenseman on our team, or even a forward, having McDavid not in the lineup, you're going, hey, that's one less thing we have to worry about. But I do know this, that when you have your top player not have his best, you're going to have everybody else crank their game up, you know, 5%, whatever it is. You've seen it in the past when McDavid has been hurt. Draisaitl takes his game to, into the stratosphere in terms of carrying their team. I'm sure a guy like Zach Hyman, who's been a big part of their team, will have his best game. Matthias Ekholm's going to come back and he's going to have his best game. Their goalie, you rally around sometimes losing your top player because, you know, you're so used to those guys carrying the load. Now you all have to get your hands on the rope and you go, hey, we got to do this together because we want to stay in the fight. So sometimes it can become a bonding effect. On our side, we've got to still know that they're dangerous, and they are. They still got lots of high-end guys, and they did go to the finals last year, and that team is pretty well the same team with a couple of adds and guys like Arvey and Skinner.
Barry Trotz, presented by Port Vue. Barry, great stuff. Congratulations on the week that, trust me, you guys needed it. I know you knew that y'all needed, but you got it. And good luck on Thursday.
Thank you.
Yep, Barry Trotz on the program, as always. 615-737-1025 here on our program. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game. Got to tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. Let me get that out there. It is spooky season, and everyone is thinking about Halloween. And this month, it's all treats and no tricks with my friends at Hiller. During their spooky good fall giveaway, get a free Blackstone griddle, solo stove, or Yeti Tundra cooler with select home upgrades. Or enjoy $99 specials like an HVAC tune-up. Visit happyhiller.com for all the details. Again, Hiller takes great care of my home. I promise you they will do the same for you, and you can see that Hiller logo right there on the ice Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Steven Stamkos, the best chance so far, then one for Kucherov. Paul down low, can't hit Gensel. Saros, the active stick to bat the pass away. Puck trickling high in the Preds zone, and Gensel keeps it. Gensel down low, and Paul scores. Roman Josi slams his stick into the backboards in frustration. Lightning win in overtime, 3-2, with a minute 38 left in OT.
Is it bad that I hear that cut last night and I'm like, man, Max called pretty good game last night, huh? Because obviously I didn't listen. I was watching on ESPN Plus last night, but that's a pretty good call right there from old Maxie. I got to tell you, he's growing up. He's bringing a tear to my eye. All right, let's go to some quick phones after Barry Trotz was on the program. One texter says, why is it that the Predators are playing so poorly in the first period, but then play with their hair on fire in the second and the third period? That's a really good question. If they played that, I thought they were super sloppy to begin the game last night. I kind of got nervous last night in the first period because I heard Willie say that if they play the way they play against Chicago or Columbus, they'll lose to Tampa. And then it felt like they played the way they were playing against Chicago and Columbus against Tampa last night. And that made me a little nervous, however you want to put that. Another text says, defense is giving up too many odd man rushes. I think Barry said right now they're trying to kind of figure out how to rotate it in and back and forth and whatnot. As far as the defense is concerned, I was a little surprised by that. I'm a little surprised by this Spencer Stastny playing pickup hockey thing, but we don't know anything about him. We don't have a timetable on that. That is fascinating as far as, I guess, that can be, but I don't know. I will tell you this. I am tired of watching Dante Fabbro play for the Predators. Like, I asked Barry, I said, you know, how do you feel about your defense, but your defense as a whole, and then, you know, he's moving the guys around and every, and Fabbro's not bad, but I'm tired of watching him play. Like, I used to call him the Treylon Burks of the Predators because it's like he got here with so much promise and hasn't improved at all. Now, I don't think it's as fair to call him Burks because Burks is, I mean, Burks is never healthy and he's like truly worthless. But Fabbro, like, Ian, I'm tired of watching Fabbro play for the Predators. I want him on somebody else's team.
Yeah, I guess it's just when you're a first-round pick and kind of seemed like expectations were a little high in college and coming in, he looked good right out the gate, and he hasn't really looked like he maybe progressed or taken that step that you would like. So I see where it's frustrating. But
so our text line always does this every time Barry Trotz comes on the program. The Titans front office needs to listen to the Barry Trotz interviews. The good, the bad, the ugly, he always communicates well, and I feel like I'm in the room with him. That comes from Shay. Another texter said, it was good hearing Barry. I guess we should expect Rand Carthon and you at his usual 5:30 Tuesday slot because I'd pay to hear that, says the texter. I haven't asked for Rand Carthon to come on the show. I doubt he would have any interest in coming on this program. But I will say this. I don't think it's fair to pile on the Titans because the Predators general manager does interviews and tells it like it is. Certainly don't think that it's a good look, but it's, I'm not going to. But Rand's interviews, as few and far between as they come, are so bad. And I have got to get on my buddy, D. Mace, who's trying to tell us that Rand, in another horrible interview, told us something that I am telling you he did not say. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.
That when reflecting on the first seven games, that the ball just hasn't bounced the team's way this year. Do you believe that?
There's moments where it feels like that, but there's also a part of football where you have to make your own luck to some degree too. You know, you got those things that feel like luck and feel like the bounces go your way or don't go your way. Part of that is making it happen for yourself too. You know, we've also given away a lot, and that's there's moments where it feels like you know, there's like three plays a game where it's like, what in the world is happening right now? Like, how does this even happen? But there's a part of the ball bouncing your way. Like, good teams have to kind of just goes your way sometimes, you know, the ball, they end up with the ball, they make plays on the ball. There's a momentum factor that it's hard to like pinpoint what that is. There's definitely times where it's felt that way. But again, I'm more in the line of, you sort of have to create those opportunities and make that, you have to make your luck a bit too in this league. And we've not done a good enough job of it.
You have to make your luck. Brian Callahan says, that's not what his boss says. Rand Carthon in the Tennessean. Question, looking at what happened in the first seven games and building for the last 10, what do you expect from the season, having seen what you've seen? Answer, quote, I expect our guys to continue to play hard, which is what they do. The ball's not round. You don't know which way it's going to bounce sometimes. It's those couple of opportunities that we've had in the game where we jar the ball loose, but it bounces right back to them. And then on the other side of us, it gets away from us, so you can't predict which way the ball bounces. But one thing I know about our team is those guys show up every day at practice. They prepare and they come out and fight. So we've got to continue to fight until the ball bounces our way. When I saw that on Sunday, I thought, oh God, no, the ball didn't bounce our way. Insulting. Again, if I own the team, I said this yesterday, if I own the team and I read that knowing I'm asking people to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for PSLs, I would have fired Rand Carthon. Because it's insulting to the fans to say, oh, the ball's not bouncing our way. It's insulting enough to say it the first time. But this is the second time he said it. In fact, he said it, Ian, if you could, he said it after Mike Vrabel got fired. They fired the coach because it wasn't good enough. And he said after they fired Vrabel, it's because the ball didn't bounce their way.
Rand, you said when at the draft or when you were introduced that your number one thing was to serve Mike. Given today's developments, did you fail at that?
I don't think we failed. I just think, one of the things Mike's always says is that the ball isn't round, so you don't know how it's going to bounce. You know, and I don't think the ball bounced our way. You know, we had 7-1 score losses. this year. So we were in games, just the ball didn't bounce our way. I wouldn't consider it a failure, but by no means, you know, were we happy with the results. You know, and that's just something we've talked about, you know, privately and as a group over the last couple months of, you know, how do we get this thing right and how do we get this thing, you know, in the right direction. So I wouldn't call it a failure, you know, but it's definitely not up to the standard.
Okay. So, again, he used that last year. Now he's using it. It's the ball bouncing their way. 7-1 score games. Ball didn't bounce our way. D-Mace today, and I love D-Mace with all my heart, but we're calling the midday show the Rand Club with Willie and Derek, Adam Vingan moderating the Rand Club. Here's what Derek said about those egregious and insulting comments.
He doesn't mean the ball literally, like the ball didn't bounce our way. That's not what he meant, okay? Just understand, I want y'all to understand that first before we even dive into anything else. Understand that when he says, and maybe it was the wrong wording, but me as a football guy, I know exactly what he means. And if I, as a football guy, am telling y'all what he exactly means, then that's what it's, hey, listen, the ball didn't bounce our way. It didn't mean, okay, we fumbled the ball and it went to Detroit instead of us. No, that's not what he means. Or we threw the ball and it went to Detroit instead of one of our guys. That's not what he means. He
Stop
just
it.
Means things.
That's so Derek's saying that's not what he means. Except he said it's those couple of opportunities we had in the game where we jar the ball loose and it bounces right back to them. And then on the other side of us, it gets away from us. He's literally saying that it's the ball. Like he said, Derek's like, he doesn't mean that when they fumble the ball, it doesn't go to Detroit. That's not what he said literally. He's like, he's pointing out, he's clarifying. This is actually what I meant by this. Like, Derek's like, look, I'm a football guy. You guys don't understand. When he says the ball didn't bounce our way, he's not really saying it's the physical ball. He's just saying things didn't work. No, I mean, again, when he says we jar the ball loose, but it bounces right back to them, and then on the other side of us, it gets away from us, so you can't predict which way the ball bounces. He's talking about the ball. Like, he's talking about the ball. When he says, hey, we were in 7-1 score game, so the ball didn't bounce our way, he's talking about the ball. When you reference 7-1 score games, you're talking about, again, in sports, the difference between winning and losing, it's a razor-thin margin. Now, I'm not actually talking about a razor, but, again, they're razor-thin margins. So I understand, for instance, last night, Stamkos has an opportunity for the Predators to win the game, and it just couldn't get in the net. That's a bounce of the puck. Like, again, the difference between Edmonton and Florida last year in Game 7 of the Cup Final, the puck did not bounce Edmonton's way on that last onslaught of, gosh, Ian, I almost said Luongo, Bobrovsky.
Mm-hmm.
The last, they were firing puck. That's bouncing your way. Like the ball that hits the chalk in a baseball game, that's the ball bouncing your way. In this case, he's talking about the ball. Like, I don't understand. And D. Mace is like, look, I understand football. You guys don't. So what he really means is, I'm pretty sure he means the ball. Like, he means the ball. Again, I understand the idea of not getting the breaks. I understand that, hey, you can go out there, play the best that you could have played, and the referee threw the wrong flag at the wrong time, and like the New Orleans Saints got screwed when they lost to the Rams in the playoffs that one year. You can say, hey, the ball didn't bounce our way. You can't say that when you lose by 38 points. And then you can't say that he didn't really mean that when he clarifies in his statement what he means. Let's play the rest of what D-Mace had to say.
That's not what he means. He just means things like we're close in games, but it's not, we're not good enough. Basically, that's what he's saying. We are not good enough. He can't say we are not good enough, okay? Even John Robinson didn't say the bottom half of my roster is not good. What John did was try to sell you on we got some good players, and we believe we drafted some good players. So when Rand Carthon, listen to me very closely, people, when Rand Carthon says the ball didn't bounce our way, what he's really saying is we're not good enough to make the mistakes that we're making and overcome them. That's all he's saying, and we have smart listeners. So listen through the words and see what he's actually saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading the words right now, and I know exactly what he's actually saying. He's actually saying, hey, if the ball had bounced our way, we would have won on Sunday. And that's just not true. And everybody knows it. Again, I don't. It's those couple of opportunities we had in the game where we jar the ball loose, but it bounces right back to them. And then on the other side, it gets away from us. So you can't predict the which way the ball's going to bounce. He's talking about the ball. D-Mace. I got to tell you, I love you with all my heart. And I think you're a smart guy. And by the way, I was thinking about saving this one up until 9:30 on Sunday, but I got a feeling me, D-Mace, Chris, we're going to have a big discussion on the award-winning pregame show on Sunday. But you can't tell the listeners, like, hey, listeners, you're smart. What he said is actually not what he said, when, in fact, it's exactly what he said. I love you, D-Mace. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.
How patient has Amy been through this process as you guys go through these struggles?
Yeah, look, none of us are that patient, you know. And again, any conversation with her, I'll leave between us. But at the end of the day, you know, we communicate, we speak, we talk. All of us, you know, between Rand and Chad and myself and Amy, we have the conversations that we need to have. We lay it out. There's no sugarcoating anything, and we know what the plan is and where we're headed and how we're going to get there. But yeah, those things are it's all part of it, you know. And it's all there's, you know, you're only as patient as you know what it's the NFL. There's not a lot of patience anywhere in the NFL, and we got to find a way to you know, get better.
That was Brian Callahan yesterday saying, hey, we don't sugarcoat things, even though, you know, they say the ball didn't bounce their way. But other than that, he said, we don't sugarcoat things, me and Amy and Rand and Chad. And okay. Our final poll numbers are in. I believe it was a 24-hour vote process. Who would be better as GM of the Titans? Ian, we put up a valiant effort.
Oh.
Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, 51% of the vote. Jared Stillman, 49% of the vote.
So close.
Oh, boy. I tell you. You know, it's one thing for Ozzie Guillen, who's won a World Series as manager of the White Sox, to sit there on the White Sox postgame show and say, I could manage the team better than this guy. It is another thing for 49% of the people to say, yeah, let's give Jared a try. Because even though he's never worked in football a day in his life, it can't be worse than it is now. They can't be worse than what it is now. I mean, I'm sorry. That's where it is. And I hope, you know, again, I don't know. Like, I don't think Amy makes decisions based upon, like, a lot of people are talking about, you know, well, they're too cheap to fire this guy or that. I'm like, I mean, they paid to fire Mike Vrabel, so I think that they're willing to eat the money. Like, I'm going to give them that. I don't think they're too cheap on this stuff. But if Amy's sitting there saying, like, hey, if anything that she said about having high standards is remotely true, somebody needs to tell her. They ran a poll. 1,200 people voted in the poll. And 49% of the people think Jared Stillman would be a better general manager than the people that you have right now running your team. Like, can you imagine telling the owner that? 49% of your fan base. And I understand if you listen to the fans, pretty soon you're sitting with them, and sometimes owners and GMs and coaches have to make decisions that are not popular with fan bases. Josh Heupel was not a popular hire at Tennessee. I got it. But it is another thing when it's like, yeah, 49% of the people, nobody. When it's like, hey, who do you think would be a better head coach for the Vols? Josh Heupel or Jimmy Himes? 49% of the people say the radio guy. You got to be there. That's kind of ridiculous. And look, I'm not saying I should be a GM of a football team. I do think I'd be better than these guys. I really believe that. And I think it's because, again, like, I have some common sense, and I'd hire some people to work for me and with me that would be, you know, very experienced, very smart, you know, that kind of stuff. And they've hired buddies who they play grab ass with, and the owner's son-in-law, I guess. I don't know. Speaking of which, the World Series is coming on next. As a Braves fan, I got to tell you, I'm happy for Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, and I'm happy. But it is a kick in the crotch, the same way watching Derrick Henry perform like Derrick Henry for the Ravens is a kick in the crotch. And I was so happy for Freddie Freeman when he hit that home run the other day. And yet, part of me feels like watching him win World Series MVP tonight is going to be a kick in the crotch. Just like watching Derrick Henry win Super Bowl MVP would be a kick in the crotch. But that's what we have. Baseball is next. Enjoy. Stillman and Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow, too.